there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy football advice, speculation, and whatever stupid stuff they decide to drop into the show. Now here's your host, Paul Charchian.
Welcome to a free agency edition of Fantasy Football Weekly. I am Paul Charchian, co-host today, Brian Johnson.
What's up, Charge? Top of the afternoon.
Yes,
to you.
As it is right now, top of the afternoon. It's always the first week of free agency is so much fun.
Yep.
All of the moving parts, players going everywhere, some people staying where they were, but it's always, I love it. All the drama. It's sports soap opera. Who's dating who? Who likes who? Doesn't like who? And that's just Aaron Rodgers.
Who technically isn't a free agent, but he is.
Yeah, in effect, right? In his heart, he's a free agent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a free soul. He's a whole lot of things.
Absolutely. Now, today's show, we're going to talk about all the free agency moves. That means, and just because there's so many of those, we're not doing re-signings. Even though there's some fascinating ones like Alexander Mattison, mm-hmm. who might be RB1 from Minnesota, we're not doing released players who haven't yet signed as of this recording, like Ezekiel Elliott, even though those could be fascinating. Strictly running through the free agents who have signed. We know where they're going. We'll talk about the fantasy implications for this year.
And a couple guys who were traded, which is sort of essentially the same thing for fantasy purposes. They're on a new team. That's what matters most.
For sure. So let's attack this by position.
Okay.
Start with Aaron Rodgers. The aforementioned Aaron Rodgers, technically, again, as we're recording this, it's not a finalized deal. The Packers, I'm sure, feel like they've got all the leverage, and they're making life very hard on the Jets and probably asking for a lot for Aaron Rodgers. Let's assume that it goes through, and he's got Garrett Wilson to throw to, Elijah Moore to throw to, now Alan Lazard on an absurd $44 million deal. What do you think about Aaron Rodgers?
Well, if this does actually go through, which we'll assume it does, probably the best quarterback in Jets history as soon as he takes his first snap. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Joe Namath, but it will be Aaron Rodgers, really.
What about Brett Favre?
hopefully Rodgers doesn't follow. He's basically followed Favre's footsteps in almost every regard, from throwing a pick in his last pass attempt as a Packer. Mm-hmm. Hopefully he doesn't do a different kind of pick with the Jets that Rodgers did.
Yeah,
I mean, that Favre did. I'm sorry, if you recall
good point.
That.
Good point, yes.
Hopefully that doesn't happen. But it's a great landing spot for Rodgers. The Jets were fourth in passing play percentage last year. They have legit weapons headlined by Garrett Wilson, who you just mentioned. Hopefully Breece Hall makes returns. He will return next year. We'll see how effective he is. But, yeah, I mean, it's a great spot for him. And Rodgers, when Underdog opened up their drafts like a month or two ago, he was going as quarterback 20. He's now quarterback 15 as we're nearing the finalization of this trade.
So since when is going to the Jets increased?
I know, right?
Made somebody more fantasy valuable. It's been a long time since maybe Beast East went to the Jets.
But, I mean, once this trade is cemented, I mean, I think he moves inside the top 12. Guys like Kirk Cousins, not hating on Kirk, Danny Dimes, Tua going ahead of Rodgers. I kind of think he leapfrogs of those guys because it's a good offense. It's going to be a good team. I wish the defense was as bad as it was in the past. That would be way better for fantasy purposes, but it's a good spot for Rodgers. I think it would have been more fun if you went to like the Raiders and reunited with Davante Adams.
Yeah, the drama would be a little bit higher. Garrett Wilson becomes really fascinating to me. He was performing with Zach Wilson and Mike White throwing him the ball. Now with Aaron Rodgers, presumably a sizable upgrade. I mean, unless Aaron Rodgers is like at the end and the whole thing falls off a cliff here, Garrett Wilson gets to, you know, you can make a case for him at like wide receiver 10.
Oh, yeah. At least, I mean, before this trade was nearing fruition like it was, Wilson was already going in the mid-second round in early drafts assuming it might be Zach Wilson or Mike White as a starting quarterback. But yeah, the talent is there. And, obviously a major upgrade for the entire Jets offense if Rodgers ends up in New Jersey as a Jet.
Derek Carr is the new starting quarterback for the Saints. And for a guy who had very little stability around him throughout his entire career, first in Oakland, then in Las Vegas, and now in New Orleans, Carr's always performed fairly well. You know, he's in that 23 to 28 touchdowns almost every year, almost always around 4,000-ish yards. I felt like immediately this is going to be an upgrade in pass blocking, but although I looked it up, and PFF did not like the Saints' pass blocking offensive line last year, ranking them 26th, although Andy Dalton took a few fewer sacks than Carr did last year. But the weapons are kind of interesting for him. Chris Olave looks like he's going to be great. He's going to live up to his draft stock from last year. Rashid Shaheed is potentially a big play threat.
I love him.
It's really interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Then you got Juwan Johnson, who started to come on at the end of last year. You can still throw to Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas, well, assuming Kamara's not in jail. And Michael Thomas appears inexplicably likely to be on the roster, which against all odds, right?
Dead to me. I don't know what to
like. I know.
I fell for it last year. I fell back into the trap. Never again. Yeah.
That's okay. You know, I know you wanted to believe it was going to work out.
Yeah, we all did.
And you know now that everybody's off him. You watch. Mm-hmm. Now it's going to.
I know. That's
all
how it goes.
Come back. Carr adds a vertical element to the Saints passing game that hasn't been there for several years, including those end years with Drew Brees, right? Where Brees just couldn't get the ball downfield. The arm strength dropped off a lot. Carr ranked fourth in intended air yards last year, fourth in ADOT. By comparison, Andy Dalton was 22nd in ADOT. So, you know, Carr's going to add a vertical element here, and that's going to be great for potentially Olave and Rashid Shaheed. And I'm kind of bullish on Carr here. I think he's going to be one of those quarterbacks that people who slough quarterback are just like, fine, I'll take Derek Carr. I think he's got a little more upside than he's had for most of his years with the Raiders.
Yeah, I mean, in certain matchups, he'll be getting B grades on this show. But he's someone worth, like you said, if you slough quarterback, he's near the top of the list if you're going to stockpile two or three guys near the end of your draft.
He's a top sloughy.
I like that.
Speaking of the Raiders, Jimmy Garoppolo, formerly with Las Vegas. Now, what are your thoughts about him in this offense?
Well, Carr upgrade for Saints, Jimmy G to Raiders, lateral move at best, it seems like.
I think it's a pretty sizable step. Well, lateral move for him or the Raiders?
For the Raiders.
Yeah.
And almost for him. He's arguably the most loaded offense in terms of the 49ers. McCaffrey, Debo, yes. Kittle, we all know who's on that team. Raiders not so bad themselves, despite losing Darren Waller, who we'll talk about later, didn't lose him. They traded him. But Jimmy G, he has benefited from a solid surrounding cast throughout his career. Here are the highest career passer ratings in NFL history with a minimum of 1,500 pass attempts, which is basically a three-season sample. Mm-hmm. Number one, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson, Joe Burrow, Russell Wilson, number five, then Jimmy Garoppolo, number six. Mm. So in the right spot, he can produce. And
this
the
is
Raiders,
not the right spot, Brian.
It's not the worst spot. Like, Carolina would have been a whole lot worse. Long story short, he's draftable, and he'll be startable in some weeks.
I do not agree.
No?
I think Garoppolo has survived off of the extraordinary talents of the players around him. You know, when all you have to do is just get the ball in the hands of Deebo Samuel and let him, with the league's leading yards after catch, go be special. Dump the ball off to Christian McCaffrey or George Kittle. I mean, Brandon and I, just so much talent in those players that he didn't have to do much of anything to spark big plays and big results. Other than Devontae Adams, he doesn't have anybody to do that with him here. And even Adams is not necessarily a big play guy. He's just an uber-dependable guy. I don't know. I think,
not a good defense, though. I think he'll be throwing more than he was with the 49ers.
He will.
So volume will be there, but he'd be better off as a starting quarterback for the 49ers. I agree with you.
A lot of times it wasn't even startable then. Baker Mayfield is your new presumed starting quarterback in Tampa Bay, at least for the time being. And here's why I'm a little bit intrigued with Baker Mayfield as sort of a last pick of your draft dart throw. Here are his leading wide receivers by season throughout Baker Mayfield's career.
This is going to be an impressive list, I'm sure.
This is the best receivers
he's
been able to throw to. Jarvis Landry, Jarvis Landry, Jarvis Landry.
It's a Landry list.
Oh, very good. Donovan Peoples-Jones. And then last year, he had six games with DJ Moore and six games with his best receiver, Van Jefferson. I mean, it's been he has had so little talent at the receiver position, and now he gets Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. I mean, by far the best receivers he's ever had. And if you just need a recent example of how important it is to have great receiving, look at Jalen Hurts. And yes, Jalen Hurts just got better because he was young and getting better. But, you know, A.J. Brown unlocked huge parts of that offense. So I think there's some good things there. The offensive line in Tampa is still a concern, but they get their center, Ryan Jensen, back. Remember, they lost Jensen for the whole season. That was a massive loss to that offensive line. He's still going to be a low A-dot guy, you know, but so was Tom Brady. Tom Brady's a low A-dot guy last year. They had almost identical A-dots. Mayfield, I think in two quarterback leagues, sleeper, super flex leagues, I think Mayfield's a legitimate, you know, last pick of your draft, second quarterback sleeper with this new spot.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, after what Geno Smith did last year, I'm not going to give up on anybody. So I'll throw in, I don't have a notes prepared, but I'm not giving up on Sam Darnold yet, now with the 49ers. I think he's worth throwing a dart, see if he ends up with the starting gig. And
because again, if you look at Jimmy Garoppolo, you don't have to be special. Just get the ball to these players' hands.
And he's a West Coast guy. He just didn't like the East Coast. He grew up in Cali. maybe that a little was homecoming.
Let's go to the running back position. David Montgomery goes to Detroit, Brian. What are your thoughts on this landing spot for Montgomery in this two-headed backfield?
Yeah, is it two-headed? It might be like it is two-headed, but one and a half heads might be Montgomery's. It feels like he's going to be the lead back. They're paying him like he's going to be the lead back. Mm-hmm. Per fantasypoints.com, Detroit ranked third best in running back yards before contact last year. Chicago was 20th, so it's a much better setting for Montgomery, who is tied for the highest forced missed tackle rate among all running backs with 125-plus carries last year, tied with Nick Chubb. So he's better than his numbers dictate.
Yeah.
I mean, the Bears, they've always had a below-average offensive line, essentially, throughout his career, and that might be being generous by saying just below average.
Correct.
It's pitiful. He's going to play the Jamal Williams role, at least, which is score all the touchdowns at the goal line.
Yes,
we know that.
There's tons of value just in that.
But I think he's better than Williams between the 20s. So
agreed.
This spells big-time trouble for DeAndre Swift.
Too.
Yeah, way better receiver. An all-around better running back than DeAndre Swift, everyone was expecting Swift to be a bell cow. That's never happening. That's really not going to happen for anyone these days. The bell cow is basically an endangered species at this point.
Yeah, well, it is in the whole league, unfortunately, for fantasy owners. But Swift, I think, is going to still chip in a lot of receptions. We just need to stay healthy, which we've now been saying for basically his whole career. But Swift has still got, I think there's still some, a little more upside in Swift, and I'm not sure Montgomery gets everything that Williams got inside the 5-yard line, but he's probably the likely candidate to get most of that.
Yeah, Swift will still have value for sure, but man, like Swift's kind of got like a fourth round ADP right now because Montgomery, for the most part, no one knew where he was going. He was going like eighth, ninth round.
Yeah, that's going to jump up.
They're going to swap. That gap is going to close, and then I think Montgomery's going to leapfrog Swift in that regard.
I think you're right. Rashad Penny went to Philadelphia. Everybody knows what the deal is here, right? I mean, just injuries, the A topic here. The good news in Philadelphia is he won't be a workhorse. Doesn't need to be a workhorse. They'll never use him that way. He'll be a rotational player with Boston Scott, who they re-signed, Kenneth Gainwell, and he's a lottery ticket. Look, if he stays healthy, he can. He's a big, powerful back who can break off some big plays, and he gets to run behind the best offensive line in his career. Seattle's never had an offensive line as good as the one Philadelphia will come back with. So there's some opportunity for Rashad Penny as, a late round lottery ticket in a mixed backfield here, but he's got to find his own points with Boston Scott, Kenneth Gainwell, and Jalen Hurts all taking runs.
Yeah, that's a backfield where you can just kind of almost draft all of them and just see what the cream rise to the top there, because you get them all at a discount
right now. Mm-hmm. Or take none of them or just let somebody else play the week-to-week game of who's gonna be the guy who chips in some fantasy points.
Just take Jalen Hurts first overall and not worry about it.
Samaje Perine's interesting to me because Joe Mixon, to me, is toast. And I really thought the Bengals might elevate Perine to be their starter this year. But Perine, when Mixon missed games last year, Perine was just okay. And then they just let him walk. So that tells me that the Bengals' evaluation of Perine was that he wasn't really going to be much better than a kind of cooked Joe Mixon. He now goes to Denver. What are your thoughts?
I like the move. It's a bigger move than most people think. Javonte Williams sounds like most likely won't be ready for the first half, or at least the first third of the season. Yeah. They're saying he might not play at all. Yeah. He's that injured. So if that's the case, I mean, we're looking at Perine as the starter. And, Denver was abysmal last year, but they have a new head coach in Sean Payton, who everyone knows. And Sean Payton's running backs throughout his career have averaged more than 30% of his team's receptions. So big boon for running backs in Denver's backfield.
And Perine can catch.
Perine can catch, and he will be on the field regardless of Javonte Williams being healthy. He was graded as the fourth best pass-blocking running back by Pro Football Focus. Mm. He hasn't fumbled since his rookie season in 2017, which means he has zero fumbles.
That's great.
Over the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's not the most elite talent, but if Williams is to miss time, we're looking at 20 touches a game, and right now you're getting that well past the 10th round. I'll take that all day, every day.
Like, see
what happens. So yeah, I think Denver was one of the better places for one of these free agent running backs because Javonte Williams is so iffy right now, and Perine should be the beneficiary.
What do you think about drafting Perine and Williams? You know, Williams is going, really late because of all these questions. You know, he's a guy who's going in the second round last year. Now, what do you think about going Perine in round, 10? And you could probably get Javonte Williams in round.
He's still going a little earlier.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh. All right, I'm out. If he's not going like round six, I'm out.
I'm wary of these ACL, MCL guys in redraft. Even Breece Hall. Breece Hall is like going early third, which is way too soon for me.
Okay.
But we won't talk about that now.
Miles Sanders goes to Carolina. We were talking about Rashad Penny earlier, where he is clearly the number one in this backfield. There's not a lot of other talent in Carolina. The question is, can Sanders be a workhorse? And because, Philly didn't use him that way, but that was a lot of schematically, Philly just doesn't do that, right? And can Sanders be a receiver? And they just chose never to throw to Sanders. Those are some questions that I think, give him some opportunity, Miles Sanders, to maybe be more productive in Carolina than he was with Philadelphia. He's certainly not going to be yielding goal line rushes to his quarterback in Carolina. His ranking by PFF last year was RB 28. He was running back 32 in yards after contact. He was running back 39 in breakaway percentage and running back 38 in elusiveness. which doesn't really bode all that well for Miles Sanders' overall game, but he's the only game in town. And, you know, I think it's less about talent, though, and just about volume and opportunity. And in Carolina, Sanders could have volume and opportunity, including at the stripe. So I'm a little bit intrigued by what Miles Sanders might be able to do fantasy-wise.
Yeah, he's a flex-level play at worst, for sure.
Jamal Williams led the NFL in touchdowns last year, Brian. 17 touchdowns for Jamal Williams. Like 16 of them from inside the five.
I think about like 9 of them from the one.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me.
And they were all like, yeah. Amon-Ra St. Brown, like catches to the one-yard line. And I think DeAndre Swift, like, yeah. So I don't like his chances of repeating this year. Even if Alvin Kamara is suspended or misses time, there's Taysom Hill, too, of course. There was no Taysom Hill in Detroit to vulture touchdowns. But, yeah, Williams, it was insane. Was second among running backs last season with 57 red zone touches, including 22 at the goal line. And he only played 41% of the snaps.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not scoring 17 touchdowns again. It's kind of a downgrade. But, hey, I'm intrigued because if Kamara is to miss time, I don't even know who the other running back is on is it Mark Ingram still on the team?
I don't think he
is. So you're looking at a starting running back with Jamal Williams, and what we talked about slightly, you know, the offense should be upgraded a little bit with Derek Carr, a quarterback, over Andy Dalton. So, yeah, I'm in on Jamal Williams, but I do not expect to see 17 rushing touchdowns again.
All right, last guy I'm going to mention, he barely even deserves mentioning to me, is James Robinson, who goes to the Patriots. Why they decided to give legitimate money to James Robinson? Well, Damian Harris is just languishing. Well, Harris is good. James Robinson is totally cooked. This is just somebody's got to take the keys away from Bill Belichick, because, man, do they make dumb-ass signings. This is another one. Robinson never really recovered from his Achilles tear from 2021. He looked slow last year. Then he got traded from Carolina to New York, and then they just never even used him. New York figured out pretty fast that they got fleeced in that deal, and they never used him. He was second to last in Pro Football Focus's elusiveness rating last year. He was third from last in yards after contact, and he was, I think it was 10th from last in yards over expectation at -0.4. He's, you know, James Robinson, maybe in a perfect world, he'll be better his second year off the Achilles injury, but almost always, guys, the Achilles injury is just basically career death, but not maybe in the minds of Bill Belichick.
Good luck, Bill. You won't be on any of my fantasy teams, I'll tell you that much.
Nor mine, exactly. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, let's talk about the wide receivers in free agency, including Jacoby Myers, when we return.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret, like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel.
Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome back, Fantasy Football Weekly. Paul Charchi and Brian Johnson with you. We've got the receivers, the tight ends to go. We knew that this was a bad free agent class of wideouts, and so we've only got a handful of guys that I think are that bear mentioning here. Let's start with DJ Moore, who goes to Chicago. And I know you guys touched on this last week, and thank you for filling in for me, by the way.
Yeah, no problem.
Bad spot last Friday.
Have you ever seen Zombieland?
No, I hear it's great. It's super fun, right?
When you... Matt and I were here recording,
yeah.
For those who listened in your palatial estate, and you wandered down the stairs.
Yeah, like in my pajamas and robe. And
this won't spoil the movie, but there's a great scene where they end up in a mansion, and it's just like Woody Harrelson and the kid who played Zuckerberg in the Facebook movie.
Yeah, Eisenberg.
But it turns out to be Bill Murray's mansion, and he comes in looking like a zombie, and they're all scared. So that was reminding me, but... Murray turns out to just have makeup on, and he's himself still. And in one of the best lines, he's like, oh, it's great. He's like, I just go right on to the course, walk on, right on.
That sounds like something Bill Murray
But it reminded me of that scene. I was like, yeah. You kind of look zombie-like, but you look a whole lot better now. I'm glad you're feeling better.
I was in a terrible spot. DJ Moore goes to Chicago. I'm pretty interested in this, and I know you guys broke it down last week, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. But, you know, if you believe that he's going to be the – what if he's going to do what A.J. Brown did for Jalen Hurts – in a quasi-similar skill set. You know, they've got deep ball capabilities. And, you know, this whole passing offense is going to go through DJ Moore now. I'm really intrigued by him.
It is. It's more of a benefit to Fields, though, I feel like, than it is for Moore.
I think it's a benefit for Moore, too.
It doesn't hurt Moore. I don't think it vaults Moore, like, into another tier or anything
Moore's
like that.
Moore's going from P.J. Walker and the undead remains of, like, Cam Newton's passing abilities. I mean, he's never had any kind of quality quarterbacking. And granted, Hurts hasn't proven to be a quality passer yet. Yeah, thank you, Fields. Mm-hmm. Hasn't proven to be a quality passer yet. But at least I got the chance that he might be.
Yeah, I agree. He's moved up a little bit, I've seen, in terms of ADP.
Let's go to Jacoby Myers, who now goes to Las Vegas.
Yeah, I like this move, and I love the quote at his introductory presser. He said, I threw them the ball, and they threw me the bag. And he was referencing that play where, remember the last play of the game in Vegas?
Yes.
When he, I thought that was a funny quote. But I'm a fan of this move, and I'm in on Myers. His numbers don't stand out, but no one's number stands out on the Patriots.
No.
Especially wide receivers, unless it's Randy Moss in 2007. Like the only successful season a receiver has had in New England. Myers missed three games last year due to injury. It was closer to four, though, because of that Thanksgiving game against Minnesota. He got knocked out pretty early.
I think that's right.
If I recall correctly. But he finished with a respectable 67 catches, 800 yards, 6 touchdowns in those 14 games. If you extrapolate that production, you get 81 catches, nearly 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns. If you play that whole Minnesota game, that's factoring that as a full game.
Yeah.
He probably would have had another 100 yards and 2 touchdowns against that Vikings.
He probably
secondary.
Would have against the Vikings.
So
yes.
I think he's got legit talent. Again, Jimmy G, not the best quarterback, but Davante Adams is going to draw a ton of attention. So Myers is going to be running free or at least facing single coverage for the majority of the time. So I like the move. And no one's dying to draft Jacoby Myers mm-hmm. right now, but he's a name I'm targeting. I think he'll yield wide receiver 3 and maybe even some wide receiver 2 value some weeks.
Alan Lazard goes to the Jets. We already alluded to this move a little while ago. Maybe the worst overpay of this entire offseason, in my mind, $44 million for a guy who could not do a damn thing without Davante Adams on the field, pulling 4 defenders away from Alan Lazard. And last year, Packers desperately needed a wide receiver to step up. Nowhere to be found. Alan Lazard, just so inconsequential to that offense when they asked him to be, they needed a producer. He couldn't be that guy. Lazard is a low yak guy. He catches what's thrown his way. He doesn't do anything special after that. We rank 6th from the bottom in cushion produced by Next Gen Stats. The good news is, I don't know. There's probably no good news here for the Jets. He joins a better, more crowded set of wide receivers. I just don't think there's any reason to think that Lazard's going to do much special here. You know, we did see him score some touchdowns when Davante Adams was there a couple of years ago, and I could see Lazard being a spot starter.
Yeah,
once or twice a month. That's it.
And he's a guy where, like, if something were to happen to Garrett Wilson, I think his value goes down almost.
Yeah,
he's
the
guy
that
needs to be the number one wide receiver.
I like that.
That's bad news for Lazard.
Talk to me about Robert Woods coming off a dreadful season for Tennessee where, you know, maybe it was because he was coming off the ACL, whatever, but just hopelessly unproductive last year. Now finds himself in Houston where they really need his production.
Yeah, they do. Not super exciting, but Woods likely will start for the Texans, a team that was top 10 in passing play percentage last year. That's unlikely to change, I think. I think they'll still be throwing a ton, giving up a ton of points. We don't know who the quarterback will be. They're likely to draft one of the top four rookies. Tennessee was bottom five in passing play percentage last year, so he should see an uptick in targets at the very least. You mentioned he was coming off injury last year, so he'll now be almost 2 years removed from injury. So I'm a little intrigued. I'll kick the tires in the later rounds on Robert Woods. I won't call him a dead cat yet. You're not paying much for him, so it's worth a shot on a guy that should see 7-8 targets minimum per game.
But who's throwing those targets is the big question here, and how capable is whichever new quarterback they go with. And, you know, if they decide to roll the dice on Anthony Richardson, he needs more time to get the passing game down. And so, you know, we'll have to say, to me, a lot of Robert Woods, right now, I'm totally disinterested in Robert Woods. If we get the right quarterback in Houston, then you can convince me to throw a late round pick on him, but right now I can't.
Yeah, you prefer Bryce Young or CJ Stroud.
I do.
Those are the two.
Those guys can throw a catchable pass.
Ready passers right now. Than
yes.
Levis and Richardson.
Agreed. Juju Smith-Schuster goes to New England. Just a slight downgrade in passing from his quarterback as he goes from Patrick Mahomes to whom, Brian?
Well, you unearthed this. I don't know how. I'd never heard it before. Is it really McCorkle Jones? Is Mac Jones's
McCorkle Jones?
McCorkle Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Man, they
how
just,
about that?
They hated him from the moment he was born, huh? He probably named himself Mac, too.
I don't know who did, but it's a good call. Now, technically, his first name is like Richard. His middle name is McCorkle, and then it's Jones. And so Mac is, they've gone off the middle name. So that's how he ended up Mac Jones, McCorkle.
Well, Matt Corkle and I discussed Juju last week, and I said, and last week, we didn't know if he was going to stay in Kansas City or leave, but I was basically like, I'm out on him if he stays in Kansas City. And clearly, wherever else he goes is a downgrade. With the Chiefs last year, only two games over 100 yards. Technically, it was only two games over 90 yards. Mm-hmm. He had a couple at like 88 or 89, so I didn't want to go the 90 route.
Right,
that's a little rough. But only three touchdowns receiving last year, including the playoffs. That's 19 games. Clyde Edwards-Helaire had three receiving touchdowns in 10 games.
Yeah.
So,
and Juju got knocked out for a couple of games, but still, you're the number one wide receiver on a Patrick Mahomes-led offense, and you have a three touchdown season.
Yeah, he's a guy that will never go in my queue, and I will bypass his name every single time. I don't care how many rounds beyond his ADP
it
is.
There's never a point.
I don't want any part of it.
There's the fact that the Chiefs have this dearth of wide receiver talent. And they still had no interest in bringing back Juju, says plenty to me.
They do. The Patriots play the Eagles this year. I looked at the schedule.
Okay.
And if you recall,
Was it the Eagles that knocked him out? Knocked him cold?
No, but he was taught. He did like some TikTok joke. He had a lot of jokes after winning the Super Bowl.
Oh, that's right.
At the expense of the Eagles.
Yes,
and A.J. Brown took.
Yeah, that's right.
I think we might see A.J. Brown play some safety.
That'd be awesome. I hope he does. I hope he does.
Me too.
I'm not convinced that Mac Jones is going to be the starter for the Patriots.
I will say his TikTok days are likely numbered.
Over. Yeah, with Belichick
at the helm.
Don't mess with that.
No, that's like the facility where like you check your cell phone in at the door. It's like
it might be, which is probably smart.
Poor Juju.
Let's go to the tight end position. Darren Waller finds himself traded to the Giants. Now, I found this fascinating because if we just back up to last August. Darren Waller basically held out of training camp, got a gigantic rework on his deal, and then here we are one season later, and he finds himself getting traded to the Giants. What are your thoughts on Darren Waller, an older player, sneaky old, right?
Yeah, 31.
And, 31 years old, but you know the Raiders decided they were out.
Yeah, the Giants essentially traded the pick they got for Kadarius Toney, So they traded Kadarius Toney for Darren Waller almost.
That's probably a good trade.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, Toney has been injury prone, but Waller has been in recent years too. But if he stays healthy, he's the best receiving option
on the team.
On the Giants. I love Isaiah Hodgins. I think he's great, and they got some other good options, but he is the best option receiving wise on the team for sure if healthy. So, you know, he was in that tight end 5-6 range with the Raiders a few weeks ago before getting traded, and I think he just kind of stays there. You know, the Giants tight ends didn't put up massive numbers last year, but they were working with Daniel Bellinger for the most part. So major upgrade for the Giants. I mean, the most exciting tight end they've had since Jeremy Shockey.
Yeah.
For the most part. I mean, he's a game changer when healthy.
Brian Daboll got decent production out of his tight ends in Buffalo, but not explosive output by any stretch.
No.
Hayden Hurst goes to Carolina. DJ Moore's gone. So given the other nameless receivers in Carolina, I mean, right now, Shai Smith is a starter based on the roster they've got right now in Carolina. I think Hayden Hurst, depending on this thing, again, we still got a ways to go. But as it stands right now, Hayden Hurst is the best receiver on the team, basically. Laviska Shenault has proven nothing on his second team. There's just not, you know, DJ Moore gone, obviously.
Terrace Marshall.
Terrace Marshall's done nothing. I mean, this is, it's the worst receiving core in the league. And Hayden Hurst is probably the best, most proven receiver on the team right now.
Yeah, he disappointed in Cincinnati, but he certainly wasn't the best receiver.
Like, I wouldn't say that.
Yeah, I can pull up. He had like one good game.
That's it?
Yeah.
I mean, I remember.
He never topped 60 yards. Yeah. I think he had three at most. I don't know.
I remember his season a little more charitably than is accurate, perhaps. But, you know, he always felt like that tight end that you could pivot to in your bye week and keep your fingers crossed and get, you know, your four catches for 40 yards or something.
We won't get, we'll discuss this in further detail later down the line, but all the rookies. But this is probably the most loaded tight end rookie class.
Yes. Yeah, in a while. Yeah.
And we know rookie tight ends don't do anything, but Hurst feels like a guy, he needs to steer clear of the landmines of the Panthers drafting, but the Panthers just gave up a lot of picks. So
they did.
So we'll see what happens. But yeah, if Hurst avoids any of those big name rookies going to the Panthers, he is draftable and rosterable without a doubt. And he'll have, I don't think he's a slam dunk starter every week, but in the right matchups, he'll be viable.
Mike Gesicki goes to New England, and now apparently he's going to take the Jonnu Smith role. Now that Jonnu Smith's out, I guess that's what's happening here.
But Jonnu like knew how to block, and Gesicki doesn't. Gesicki like Waller right now, I think he's the best receiver on New England. It's not Juju to me. I mean, I like Hunter Henry, but he's going to play the more traditional tight end role.
I suppose.
I could see Gesicki, you know, then there's Kendrick Bourne. So I was hoping Gesicki was going to go to
Devontae Parker. Oh, integral part to that offense.
The two games.
I think you think Gesicki's better than I think Gesicki is.
I do. I wanted him to go to a more, I thought Cincinnati would have been the ideal landing spot for him. Not going there. I'm hoping I got to sneak in Dan Arnold every show. I'm hoping Dan Arnold ends up a Bengal because he's a free agent now, sadly, Jacksonville.
Why would they not re-sign him? It's Dan Arnold.
I know.
And Jacksonville, they need all the tight end help. They traded for him.
I know. Well, they tagged Evan Engram, but as a back, you're being facetious, aren't you?
Just a little.
Yeah.
We'll you can't even. I tell will have my day. Dan Arnold.
Dan and I will have our day.
Oh, you guys are going to have your day. You'll be spooning at some point. I think you're going to have a romantic day. That's what I think.
I would do it. I would gladly spoon.
I think that's right.
I'm blushing right now. Mike Gesicki to New England, not super exciting, but he's still a top. I mean, it's still a tight end wasteland, even with all these rookies coming in. He's still a top.
Well, wouldn't you rather? 12. I'd rather have Hunter Henry. I'm taking Hunter Henry before I'm taking Gesicki.
I'll take that dollar bet on you. Take Gesicki having the best, I bet their scoring
ADP,
more touchdowns.
Their ADP is going to be close at the end of the day. I'll just take the proven production that Hunter Henry's had.
Gesicki was a guy I was loading up on, hoping he would end up on a Bengals
better
team,
spot.
But also I'm not super excited about this one, unfortunately.
I'm not excited about Gesicki to begin with. Right. Thank you for listening, everybody. Another edition of Fantasy Football Weekly in the books. And next week, probably a lot more of the same for all the things that are going to happen between now, next Friday, for all the different free agency moves. So should have finally have some answer to Aaron Rodgers and all the other stuff that's gone on.
Kareem Hunt, some names off the top of my
head. Oh, yeah. OBJ. Is Dalvin Cook a Viking in a week?
Dalvin Cook. Dan Arnold. Where is Dan Arnold?
Where's Dan Arnold? Emergency podcast.
I got to find out what my new team is that I'm rooting for.
That's right.
There is a chance they bring him back to Jacksonville. I've done extensive research on this, but I'll shut up about Dan Arnold.
All right. That is a deal. Talk to you in a week, everybody.
Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.